Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello. This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The 10th station of the cross. As we who are making the stations of the cross within the cathedral move from the fallen Christ to the 10th station, we see that he has somehow managed to regain his feet and is now at the top of a hill. Some of the soldiers hold him upright, while others are preparing the cross for his execution. He is meek and helpless, likened unto the lamb led to the slaughter, except that the lamb's body is without blemish, and his is torn and crusted with blood.
We adore thee, O Christ, and we bless thee,
because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world.
Consider the violence with which the executioner stripped Jesus. His inner garments adhered to his torn flesh, and they dragged him off so roughly that the skin came with them. Compassionate, your Savior, thus cruelly treated, and say to him,
My innocent Jesus, by the merits of the torments thou hast felt, help me to strip myself of all affection to things of earth, in order that I may place all my love in thee.
When Jesus fell the third time, he was at the foot of Golgotha, not far from the Ephraim gate, and overlooking the road to Jaffa. For it was the Mosaic precept that an execution be as public as possible, that all the people should see it and take warning. And standing among the watchers was a man, one Ozias, who looked upon Christ with great compassion, for he was kind of heart and well-meaning. And besides him was his father-in-law, Titus. They had been coming along the Jaffa road to Jerusalem when they saw the crowd around Jesus, and they stopped to watch.
Titus, who is it they're crucifying?
It's hard to say. There's so much grime on his face.
It's Jesus.
Are you sure, Ozias?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I think it is. The scribe was right. He told us Jesus wouldn't live through another Passover.
Look at them ripping his garments from him. Well, the man's been beaten unmercifully.
Better come away, Ozias. A crucifixion's not a pleasant thing to watch.
No, I'll stay.
To see the end of the man you once wanted to follow?
Look at him standing there. Helpless, alone.
He had nothing but his clothing. Now even that's taken from him. Come, let's go.
Go if you wish. I'll stay.
Surely you don't enjoy seeing him like this.
I can't leave, Titus. Now I understand why I could not follow him. Now I understand to the limit what he meant when he said one must deny oneself and take up his cross daily to follow him.
I remember well the day you went to see him and how you came back.
I came back because I couldn't deny enough.
Seeing him now, have you any regrets? You're on your way to become the richest man in Israel. He's about to die on a cross.
Regrets? I don't know. But I'll always remember him that day I went to ask to be permitted to follow him. He was a day's ride from home, and I found him talking to his disciples. Good master, what shall I do to gain eternal life?
Why dost thou call me good? No one is good, but only God. Thou knowest the commandments.
Master, all these things I've kept since I was a child.
One thing is lacking to thee.
Please tell me, that I may find it.
Go. Sell whatever thou hast. Give to the poor.
Master, I'm a man of considerable wealth. Surely you can't ask that I give it all up.
Sell. Give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come, follow me.
I pay my tithes and I do help the poor. And I'm very willing to increase my contributions. But if I gave up everything, what? I'd have nothing for my old age. Besides, I'm to marry, and there's my wife and children to consider.
If anyone wish to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily, and follow me. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but ruin or lose himself?
It's a harsh doctrine you preach, Master. But even so,
for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes into his glory, that of his Father and the holy angels.
But, Master, I would have to ruin myself. And with no assurance, the very substantial sacrifice I make would be balanced later on. No. Though you are a good and just man, I don't think I can join you under the conditions you ask.
Well, Ozias, I see you're back.
Yes, Titus, I'm back.
Jesus rejected you?
He told me I must give up everything and turn it over to the poor.
Ah, yes. Everyone knows of that speech he made on the mountain.
Why is he so bitter against those who have money?
That's easy. With the exception of one Matthew, all of his disciples are poor. Never having had anything and resigned to the fact that they never will, they've come to regard poverty as a virtue, but at the same time, no doubt, have a secret envy of those who are rich.
But these men are good, Titus. You make them sound mean and envious.
They're only human like the rest of us. And envy of what one does not have is a natural human trait.
Well, I certainly don't envy one who's poor.
Nor do I. Now, my boy, can we say you've given up your idea of following Jesus and are ready to marry my daughter and settle down?
But she said she'd have nothing to do with me if I went to Jesus.
I know, but you were drawn to Jesus because he's an idealist. Now, don't take it amiss. I was, too, at your age.
After talking to Jesus, I'm not so sure I am an idealist.
He goes to extremes, which always ends in defeat. He's picked up only a dozen men who follow him.
Oh, no. He's surrounded by crowds wherever he goes.
What crowds? The lame,
the sick, the blind, the hungry. What afflicted man wouldn't come to a doctor who can cure, and without charge? If his mysterious power should suddenly desert him, how many do you think would follow him?
You think, then, that he might someday disappoint people?
Yes, and through no fault of his own. People will expect the impossible of him. Their hopes and desires will magnify him to a god. They won't blame themselves when it turns out he isn't. They'll blame him for not living up to their wild conception of him.
But you do think he's sincere, don't you?
Profoundly sincere. You didn't expect me to say that, did you?
No, I didn't. You always talk so cynically.
A cynic is an idealist 30 years later.
Titus, it seems I can't follow Jesus because of my money. But I would like to do a little something for the poor.
What do you have in mind?
I can double my tithes to the temple.
It would cut down your income.
Of course, but nevertheless...
One second thought. Go ahead. When we take up our business with the temple, we'll let them know about the increase in tithes, and it may help us get the contract.
Titus, I wasn't thinking of that.
Now go, make your peace with my daughter. Tomorrow we'll go to Jerusalem and discuss the contract.
Now, Titus, I understand you and Osias want the concession to sell the small sacrifices and the changing of money for the temple.
That's correct.
Well, what's the proposition?
We would manage everything for a flat fee. Raise and deliver the doves, see to it that they are on hand at the proper time and without blemish. The temple would have an inspector on hand, but we would pay his salary.
For what fee?
We take a flat 25%. The rest goes to the temple.
I'm not sure that's to our advantage.
It would be if we were the official agents and only doves bought from us would be accepted.
As it is now, people bring the smaller sacrifices from home, and the temple makes a profit only on the slaughter.
Yes, that's true.
Now there are many dealers, some of them not honest, and they sell damaged birds, and the sacrifice is refused. Now that wouldn't happen under our contract.
Well, it's worth considering. And now how about the money changers?
Because of the large sums of money we would have to tie up in order to make change in any currency, we feel that the increased revenue which would come to the temple would be sufficient return.
How do you figure that?
People come from all over the world. The small traders can't carry a large stock of every kind of coins. Very often, the temple doesn't get a money sacrifice because the large coins cannot be changed.
Would you guarantee the temple would get more offerings under this arrangement?
Suppose we guarantee a 5% increase, and you turn back to us all over 5%.
10% would be more agreeable.
Five.
I'm afraid we can't do business on the money changing.
Titus, a mere 5% stands in the way of agreement.
Yes, so it seems.
I'm prepared to increase my tithes to the temple by another 1/10.
As you know, scribe, Osias's tithes are very substantial.
Yes, quite.
Therefore, you are guaranteed of a fixed amount of additional revenue and should agree to the 5% figure.
Are you prepared to put this agreement in writing, Osias?
If you prepare the agreement, I'll sign as soon as it's ready.
Very well. I'll present your proposition to the temple, and with the recommendation, it be accepted.
All in all, we've made a very good contract, Osias.
Yes, but we've guaranteed the temple a fixed amount. The increase doesn't develop, we have to pay out of our pocket.
Nothing to worry about. More and more people come to Jerusalem each year. More come from distant lands, and they are wealthy.
How do you know this?
I've checked. I've had tallymen in Jerusalem for every feast over the past 5 years. I know exactly how many come each year, the rate of increase, the number of doves sold, the average income of every money changer. I never go into anything blind. We can't lose, and this is only the beginning.
Only the beginning?
Once we make good on the small sacrifices, we ask for the concession of the lambs and cattle. That's where the real money is.
Say, you do look ahead, don't you?
One has to, Ozias. Do you realize that one day you will be the richest man in Israel?
Really?
When you marry my daughter, you become my heir. When I die, you'll get everything.
Think of that. The richest man in Israel. Jesus did me a good turn when he rejected me.
Arms. Arms. Young sir, arms for a poor man.
My good man, I've just increased my tithes double at the temple. If you'll go there, I'm sure you'll be taken care of.
The temple's far, and I find it hard to walk.
I'm sorry, but I've made my contribution to charity for the year.
But, sir, hunger comes daily, not once a year.
You can't expect me to make a generous contribution to take care of people like you and then give individually to every beggar on the road.
I take this and be off with you.
Thank you. Thank you, good sir.
Titus, why did you give to him? You make me look mean and small.
Oh, I didn't want him to delay us.
But Titus, if he spends it on drink, as I'm sure he will, you contribute to his downfall.
They all look hungry, Ozias. I must confess, old as I am, I've never been able to distinguish between the deserving and the undeserving.
Some beggars are very rich. Not long ago, one died.
Yes, yes, I know. His mattress was stuffed with coins, a small fortune.
That's right. And when that fellow said he found it hard to walk to the temple, I decided he was lying.
Ah, but he wasn't, Ozias.
How do you know?
I glanced at his legs. His left foot was missing.
Come in, Titus.
Are you ready?
Oh, I'll be packed in a moment. Have you heard anything about Jesus?
Nothing for sure, but that won't make too much difference.
Well, if he doesn't come, it will make a difference.
No. Everyone's expecting him to come to Jerusalem. That's all that's needed to get a great crowd.
Is everything ready?
Yes, but we should be on hand early to check.
I'm packed. We can start.
To do. Each stand will have a sign indicating what currency is being changed. Now line up, and I'll give each man suitable coins. Hand your receipt to my partner. At the end of each day, accounts will be settled. Is that clear?
Aye.
Assyrian coins. Will the man take them? Next, Grecian coins. Then, Roman, count them, please, and then give your receipt to Ozias.
Well, Titus, I've just made a tour of inspection.
How do you find everything?
Excellent, considering this is the first day. My congratulations. You've organized this very well.
Thank you. By next year, any minor flaws that may have appeared will be completely done away with.
Stop him! Stop him! Stop
him! What's happening?
Titus! Come here at once!
What's the matter, Ozias?
Jesus appeared suddenly with a whip. He kicked over the table of the money changers and started driving the merchants out of the courtyard.
Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations? But you have made it a den of thieves.
See here, you've no right to do...
Take these things away. And do not make the house of my father a house of business.
This will cost us dearly.
Please, quiet. I want to hear.
What sign dost thou show us, seeing that thou dost these things?
Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.
46 years has this temple been in building, and wilt thou raise it up in 3 days? He runs away. He refuses to answer. Give us a sign if you can do these things.
We've lost a good deal of money, Scribe.
Am I to blame for that? How was I to know Jesus would kick over the money tables? Now, you live up to your bargain.
You'll get your money to the last shekel.
And I can assure you this will never happen again.
Can we be sure?
Jesus will never attend another Passover.
Why do you say that? What do you know?
I have ways of knowing. I can't say anything more.
Wait, Scribe. I want to know.
I can't say any more. You'll soon have proof of what I mean.
And on the day the Passover was to begin, Titus and Ozias, not knowing Jesus had been arrested during the night, walked into the country to attend to some business. And upon their return, they saw the crowd on Golgotha. And they drew near as the soldiers were stripping Jesus of his garments.
Any regrets, Ozias?
I suppose, seeing him now, I shouldn't have any regrets I didn't follow him. Yet I'll always wonder.
About what?
Whether he did have the key to eternal life. That, you remember, is why I sought him out.
And in effect, he told you you'd have to strip yourself of all worldly possession, even as he has been stripped of the flesh.
Seeing him like this, it made me realize the hidden meaning of his words.
So that now you understand to the limits, I believe you said.
He was telling me that to follow him, one must deny to the uttermost, stripping himself of all pretense, all vanity.
And all money.
He saw into my heart that day. For I myself didn't know how much money meant to me till I was asked to give all of it away.
Well, it is as I said, Titus. Jesus would not come to another Passover.
What has happened? Ozias and I left the city early this morning and have just returned.
During the night, Jesus was arrested. Then the Sanhedrin was summoned and he was tried and convicted.
Of what?
Blasphemy.
In what way did he blaspheme?
Declared openly that he is the Son of God.
Surely no one believes him.
He believes it.
Does he really, or has he beguiled himself into thinking he's the Son of God?
Well, evidently he believes it firmly enough to die, rather than to admit he is not the Son of God.
Why, one would almost have to know...
Know what?
Nothing.
I think my son-in-law was about to say that... One would have to know he was the Son of God to endure the suffering Jesus has endured and will endure. Isn't that it, Ozias?
Yes.
But that's such a contradiction. How could one who believes, or as you say, know himself to be the Son of God, deliberately ask to suffer?
Of course, it's been predicted that one day a man would come who would take upon himself the sins of others.
True. But this is not the man.
How can you be so sure?
Because that man would be the Messiah. Look at him up there. In a moment he'll be nailed to the cross. Would God permit that if this man were his son?
What you say seems logical. And yet I can't rid myself of the feeling a great mistake is being made today.
You must understand, Scribe, that Ozias wished to become a follower of Jesus a year or so ago. He was rejected because he couldn't bring himself to strip himself of his wealth.
Is this true, Ozias?
Yes.
Well, you should be thankful you didn't let him make such a fool of you.
He said to me, that whoever was ashamed of his words and of him would the Son of Man be ashamed when he came into his glory.
Listen, they're nailing him to the cross. Would you say he's come into his glory?
Be still. Can't you see I'm troubled about him, even if you are not?
Oh, very well, Esaias. I'm going, since you're so upset. It'll all be over before the Passover begins. And then in a few days, forgotten.
Conceited pig.
Esaias, if you want to do business with the temple, you'd better trim your sails. It's easy to see you've never gotten over the fact that Jesus rejected you. You rushed to him, full of idealism and enthusiasm, expecting him to receive you with open arms. It was a great blow to your pride when you weren't accepted.
Titus, Jesus did not reject me. I rejected him. He said, sell and give to the poor and follow me. But I found I wanted money and power even more than eternal life. And he knew it, for he said to me, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose himself? You say I'll become the richest man in Israel. Then I look upon the poorest man there nailed to the cross, and I beg of him to give me of his humility and his purity. When he comes into his glory, he will not be ashamed of me, as I was ashamed of him and his words that day I boasted. I said that I had kept all the commandments. And yet, when I was given the choice, I traded treasure in heaven for my wealth on earth.
Don't be harsh on yourself, Esaias. If you feel you've rejected him, others have done the same, for he is alone at his death.
Your words are no comfort. My shame and my defeat are mine alone, and are in no way lessened by that of the many. And each man must kneel on his own knees and ask for salvation with his own heart, for he alone knows the secret of his transgression.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymoor for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymoor. Attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need. Please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymoor, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.